person just like you, just like many of you, who will unlock the door of the synagogue, get the sacred scroll, get it ready for the rabbi, make sure the lights are on, candles are lit, there are places to sit. And it was also the responsibility of the local leader of the synagogue to invite preachers or rabbis just like Jesus. So when they heard, or this leader heard that Jesus was coming to town, there was a sense of excitement, and they invited Jesus. And all of a sudden, the word got out that Jesus is coming to town. And people were interested because they want to go to the synagogue, because this is the place where casting visions, talking about visions, planning for the future is very important. So they traveled from many different places to hear what God has to say to this itinerant rabbi. And perhaps the crowd grew longer and longer. And that is why we have this Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went up to the mountainside and started to preach to all of his disciples, those who are following the way. But it is important to note that whenever Jesus speaks, the words of Jesus take on a different meaning. Can you imagine the word blessed? And perhaps for most of us, it is so ordinary, it is so common, that sometimes we use it casually without recognizing how it may indeed impact the lives of other people. Imagine also when Jesus said, "You are blessed," Jesus is saying, "You are the light of the world." Imagine also when Jesus said, "You are blessed, you are the salt of the earth." That means you are a catalyst. You can make something new again. Or perhaps Jesus, when he said, "Yours is the kingdom of heaven," all of a sudden in Jesus there is this investment of kingdom. There is this investment of a savior. You are no longer strangers. You are no longer slaves, but rather you are friends of a living God. So all of a sudden, there is this new heightened sensitivity. There is this elevation from the previous state, if they were accustomed to scarcity with nothing in their lives. All of a sudden, Jesus is saying, "You are going to be abundant again." In one sweeping moment, Jesus says, "You are going to be full of the promises of the living God." And so therefore, when a word of blessing is hard to discern, you know, it is indeed a welcoming opportunity. We do that on a personal level. We do that also on a spiritual level. One of my favorite passage in the Bible is the blessing from Isaac to Jacob. And I think some of you know about Jacob, right? Who stole a bowl of soup in order to get the inheritance. So he came to his father Isaac, and Isaac gave the blessing to Jacob. And finally his brother Esau came and asked for the same blessing, and his father said, "Well, I already gave my blessing to my other son. I thought it was you." And Esau said, "Don't you have any other blessing to give to me?" And sometimes we find ourselves in that same situation. Is there any other blessing available to all of us? Now, this past week, we have seen our share of blessing. I pray that we could do that all the time, to claim that blessing. If not all the time, perhaps some of the time, or most of the time, or once in a while, perhaps we can say that God indeed has blessed us, has claimed us as his very own. We have seen our share of blessing this week, and last night I have experienced that blessing, sitting with neighbors. And we have to understand that when we talk about our neighbors, we are not only talking about neighbors who are very close to us, those who live in near proximity to our homes. Our neighbors really are different. Our neighbors are people from all over the place. I was sitting with a Muslim woman and a Muslim man in our church today to enjoy what we have to say and what we have to offer. And it was a great evening of fun and fellowship. But we also have our share of lament. And this week, many people are trying to find their way home, displaced, and cannot come back home physically or spiritually. And so when we talk about the plight of the refugees in the world today, not only in the United States, but in other parts of the world, and I think we have to recognize that refugees do not seek to be refugees. This is not their own doing. In fact, one of the scripture passage that we have in the scripture is when Jesus fled to Egypt, right? And he was a refugee too. It was not their doing, but it was Herod's plot of doing. But you see, coming back home and being deprived of this blessing is a real thing. And for many of us, we may never truly understand unless we are there to be deprived of blessing. You know, at one time when I was returning from the United States, I was set aside and I was asked a lot of questions about where I have been, what did I do, and what countries I had visited, even though I was carrying an American passport. You know, although I am an American citizen, but still I was subjected to a different kind or level of understanding. But there are people who are really set aside for secondary screening. And so when you hear about secondary screening, you're thinking of being deprived of the blessing of your own of your own rights and privileges. So secondary screening is really a euphemism. Not only recently, but for a long time. It's a euphemism for something else. And as I said this morning, I think I need to brush up or recalibrate my accent. I think I need to watch MeTV more than usual. But I like Hogan's Heroes. But if I am going to learn more or recalibrate my English so that I can become a better speaker, I don't think Hogan's Heroes will do the right thing. Maybe MASH, right? Or maybe some of the TV sections that I watched last night to recalibrate, you know, to find out, to improve myself. But in reality, when we are deprived of this blessing, it means that God has withheld his presence to all of us. But the good news from reading the scripture is different. We are given an opportunity. It presents us with hope and challenges. That is the nature of these particular blessings, the Beatitudes that we heard this morning. You know, I offer this blessing in so many different ways because I know that when God has blessed me, I cannot keep it for myself. But I said this morning, there are times when my inner Elsa hums in my mind. Do you know, do you have your inner Elsa in you? You know, the Frozen, right? And she said, let it go, let it go. And so I look at the lyrics. And I thought, wow, that was really fun. But I got stuck on that word when she says something about, I don't know what she said. Letting go is a blessing. I stand my ground. You know, she got stuck in there. I stand my ground. So that's not really a blessing in a deeper way because you are sticking your ground no matter what. Sharing the blessing means you have to allow God to bless you or to influence you. But you know, I detect a feisty resistance, which is good for practical living. One of the pastors who led us in a workshop yesterday said, Well, you know, if you don't get any resistance, then you're not doing the right thing. The only way you can effect change is when there is resistance. And Jesus did that specifically, even to the point of dying on the cross, which is cross-cultural. And again, I channel my inner Dory. How many of you have seen Dory? You know, she's a chatty, sociable, and she tells you a life story. She's a fish, but many times she forgets. She is the equivalent of an aquatic good Samaritan that even though she is undervalued, her resistance gave way to a blessing. So I discovered and I realized that I need to watch newer movies rather than just Disney movies. I need to think about it some more. The blessing or the discourse in the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount was counter-cultural. It is against the flow. But it is a recognition that God, who has blessed us, is a God who also suffers, who died for us. That's what the scripture says. But then there is power in that suffering. There is power in that cross. Paul said, Christ crucified, the powerless, suffering God, pushed to the margins by human greed and power. God does not seek dominance. When we think about repentance, and we talk about it in so many different ways, it doesn't mean that God will take away your property. It doesn't mean that God will deprive you of liberty and the joy of being fully alive. It simply means that when you turn your life around, when you repent, you are opening yourself back to the embrace of God to receive that blessing, the Beatitudes that we say. The blessed ones know their dependence. One of the most influential texts that I have read addressed God in this way. You move us in delight to praise you. You have formed us for yourself. And hear this, the famous quote. Some of you know this. And our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. When we come to receive the blessing, it becomes a foundation for strong faith. In closing, I share this wonderful story of Moses. You know, during the wilderness, and they were fighting enemies from left and right. And Moses finally decided, I am going to the mountaintop and I am going to raise my hand with my staff. Because the Bible says, and the Lord said to him, whenever you raise your hand, your right hand and then your left hand, your people, God's people, my people called Israel, will be saved from harm. And they did. The people of Israel experienced the blessing whenever he lifted up his hands. Well, here's the problem. The problem was Moses' hands got tired. You do that. If you do that, most of the time, raise your hand. In due time, your tendency for your hand is to come down. That's the nature of gravity, just like that, right? But there was Aaron on his left, and there was Hur, not a her, H-U-R, Hur, who was there. And so when Moses' hands started to drop down, Aaron just kind of like, whoop, and Hur's hand also lifted up Moses' hand just like this. And I thought of that image, and I thought that is a very powerful image for us today. Someone has to lift our hands, my left and my right. Someone has to lift your hands, because when we talk about the blessing, it is not solitary. It is not for ourselves alone. It is always done in community by the beloved children of God. That is the blessing that comes from God. It is unique. It is meant to inspire us
and it is meant to give us the good news. Amen.